Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 217. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And on this week's episode, we're going to close out once and for all the Rambo series with the latest film that's in theaters now. Chris, you've also seen Ad Astra. We're going to talk about that. And then after that, we're going to do our little fall movie preview, given our top five movies that we're both looking to each.
Yeah. For the fall, right?
Right into it. And let's talk about Rambo Last Blood. This is the first Rambo film since 2008's simply titled Rambo. Yes. So it's been 11 years. And
should have stayed dead.
And in the time since, Rambo has moved back home to, like, I guess the house he grew up in. And they don't explain this in the film, but they're like, I guess there's people that worked on it at his parents' house that like inherited the house essentially. So he lives there with like this Mexican family, like this mom and her daughter, and
granddaughter.
Oh, it's her. It's her granddaughter. Yeah. And the premise here is that she's like about to go off to college, and she wants to see her like estranged father who like ran away to Mexico like basically 10 years prior, and bad shit happens, and so Rambo has to do one last blood or whatever the fuck. And we'll get into plot details. I kind of want to go spoilers on this because I think it'll be fun and I don't think anyone will give a shit, so I'll say, like, right after our beginning comments here, we'll go into, like, full spoilers for the movie. But, Chris, Rambo Last Blood, what'd you think of it, buddy?
Wow. This is a shitty film.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm not sure if there's a... That doesn't exactly express how bad I think it is, but... It is a garbage movie. It is not the worst film I've seen this year. I've seen something worse, but it is right up there. I had zero fun with it. It's a 90 minute movie, actually a little bit less, a minute less than that, 89 minutes long. I felt I was in the theater for like 3 hours. I kept checking to see that, and I never check. Like, I don't wear a watch, so like it's on my phone. So I hate like because it hits, it makes that like. So I'm like trying to hide my phone underneath my shirt and check out like what time it is. And I did that 3 times.
Wow!
Because I was just so fucking bored. There is a decent spat of action towards the end. I have issues with that in particular. Due to the way they shot it, I don't think it necessarily works so well. But it's like we came off of Rambo 2008, which was we came away from it not as high on it as we maybe were a decade ago. But
do you have a newfound respect for it now?
Well, it's like it's still like for as cruel and mean as that film is, like, the action is still like super cool, and for a good portion of it, like, it's a pretty decent Rambo film. Like, outside of like some weird, weird like women in peril and sexual assault and like stuff that doesn't belong. Like, there was no need for it. Like, it was fluff. Like, the entire movie is pretty much fluff. The villain is not anywhere near as good. Like, they're bad. Like, you don't like them.
Like, yeah.
And you shouldn't. You shouldn't like the villains in like a Rambo movie. Like, they should be, cartoony, and these guys are cartoonishly evil. But also, like, they have zero personality. Like, at least like the major in Rambo 2008, like, I mean, he had some personality. Like, to him, he was pretty like grim and brutal, but also like exactly what you would expect of a dude that is in charge of a like brutal army that does like human atrocities. Because at the end, he's like trying to scurry away like a rat, and you know they kill him by stabbing him in the stomach. Like in this, like it's just your stereotypical cartel bullshit. Like sex traffic runners. Mexico in this is like, portrayed as like a hellscape. I don't know. I was bored through like two thirds of this movie. And then, you know, when it finally gets going, when Stallone finally like gets to play like Psycho Home Alone, it's all shot in like this super dark lighting, and you can't see half of the shit that's going on. Like, it seemed like it might be cool, but I don't know. You didn't really get to see it.
Yeah. I didn't like hate it like you did, but the more I've thought about the film after seeing it, like I can't argue with a lot of the things that anyone. You know, there's been a lot of like, I mean, this thing is sitting pretty bad on Rotten Tomatoes and. I've read a lot of like reviews and just like write ups in general about how like the film sucks and is racist and this and that. And I wasn't bored. Look, I wasn't bored, but I have a feeling that you and I are going to have a lot of the same issues with it. And a big one for me is that like almost all the action is confined to the last 15 minutes. And so like, all the shit that you see in the trailers and like the Red Band trailer and all that, like it all happens. Honestly, most of it happens within a fucking Door song. So like what, 5 minutes, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like I think I was being generous when I said like, you know, 15 minutes of it. Well, like,
that climax is probably 15 altogether, you know, and there's some cool, like it goes balls to the wall action, but I have the same problem with you is that like, you could tell there's some really good gore and shit going on. Like they like worked on the effects, but I couldn't see any of them. So it's like the one good part of the movie. I mean, I think there's other things that I liked too, but the one good part of the movie really, like when it comes to action anyways, is like, you can't see what the fuck is going on. So it's like,
right. So like to me, like that made it like, wait, like, hey, that the violence and gore may have been ramped up from Rambo 2008, but we couldn't see any of it. So, like, it just seems tame. Like in a comparison to that movie, which is a decade old, like a decade older at this point, and like all the films that have come since then that have like ramped up the violence and the gore in like fun movies. Which I mean, that's maybe a sick thing to say, like, but it is like they're sometimes it's fun to see like people rip the shit, like just is. And it's such shot in such a poor fashion in this movie that it's like, I don't know, like it seems like there's cool shit, like and I know like cool shit is happening because there's like neat traps and shit, and but like you don't get like a good view of anything.
I know he's cutting people's heads off, people are getting like shit like impaled right through their head and stuff, and I don't know, like when he did stuff like that in Rambo 2008, it's like in broad daylight and the, you know, the camera stayed right on it. And here, like the camera stays on it, but I can't see anything. It's so weird, guys. I remember a couple weeks ago I said that the movie looked like a straight to video film. And then I got a little more excited about it as we got closer. I think after watching Rambo 2008 again, I was excited for this.
Sure.
This kind of felt like a straight to video movie to me, like actually when I finally like saw it, I was like, oh
yeah, very much so. Like it coming out of it, I was like, yes, that like I could definitely see that opinion, because that's what this felt like. It did not feel like a big blockbuster action movie, you know, early September, you know, right at the end of summer, like something to kind of, you know, call home about. So
it didn't feel like a Rambo movie either. Like it's
no, that's the other thing.
Like it feels so like, again, the series has morphed over and over, but like kind of since 2 on, they've been about balls to the wall action and
one about Rambo being a hero.
Yeah.
Like for, you know, whatever issues that all three of those movies have, Rambo 2, 3, and 2008, like whatever issues they have, like the premise was always painted, like Rambo was painted as the hero. In this one, like, and I have such an issue with it. He's not the hero. Like, this is not a hero story. He's not rescuing anybody. Like, he does, but it then becomes a revenge movie. And that kind of makes the tone different, I think.
And also, like, just as a character, he feels off to me. Like, it feels like he's acting like Rocky. Like, in the beginning and shit, it's like this old, retired, like, just enjoying my ranch and...
Yeah, and, like, there are weird shots of him, like, lassoing horses.
It's like this weird conservative, like, imagery and shit of, like, him being a cowboy and shit. I'm like, what the... This is not what that character was at all. And I think it was safe to say we both didn't love this. But I'm going to open up to spoilers now. So yeah, he's like building all these tunnels and shit underneath his fucking ranch for I don't know what, so that he could have it for the plot at the end. Like, what the fuck was he like planning all this time?
Right.
Was he waiting for some invasion? Was he waiting for the government to come get him? Like, I don't understand why he's building all these tunnels, other than the fact that they have to be there for this
finale. It makes zero sense. Like, he's just, and it's not just like, oh, you know, he built like a little bunker, right? Like, no, he's built like a fucking spider web of Viet Cong. Like
he's literally insane. Tunnel. They actually ask him why he's doing it, and he says because he's nuts.
Right.
Do you remember, like, when he's talking with the girl? And by the way, he, like, invites her and all her friends to come, like, hang out and party in the tunnels. And then they're like, ooh, yeah, cool. Like, thanks, Uncle Rambo. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm sure they'd be like, yeah, let's go fucking hang out in your crazy fucking, like, pseudo dad's fucking house. Speaking of dads... one of, I think, the, like, most ridiculous things in this is she tracks down her dad in Mexico, and he's just, like, for a minute, he's kind of acting normal, like, oh, you found me, oh, like, and then he's just like, you know why I left? Because fuck you and fuck your mom, and I didn't want to fucking be there, and I wanted to go live my own life, and I don't give a shit about you, and I was just like, even, like, the worst dads ever out there would never, like, just say that. You know what I mean? Like, it's so cartoonish and over the top, and also totally unnecessary to anything that comes before or after. Like, I don't understand why he was written like that. That was, like, so... I mean, I guess so Rambo could show up and beat him up or whatever. Like, I don't even know if he beat him up. Like, he just kind of, like...
Just, like, yelled at him, like, where is she? Not here. Like, I sent her away. Like...
I told her to go fuck herself. Fuck her and fuck her dead mom.
So stupid. They could have, like, had any other reason for her to go over to Mexico. And it's like, she needs to go find her dad, who is a complete asshole and has this weird twist. And, like, what the fuck is going on?
He could have just been nice to her, and then she could have went out with her friend after, and then the same plot happens. Like... It just didn't make sense that, like, again, like, I just, nobody acts like that. Like, even, like, the worst fucking abusive, alcoholic, drunk fucking dick would not be like, yeah, fuck you and fuck your dead mom. Like, when she didn't do anything to him, he left her, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Like, I just, to me, it came off as so cartoonishly unrealistic. Like,
that whole end of it didn't make any sense to me. Like, all right, yeah, her dad left, whatever. And, you know, Rambo is now kind of her surrogate dad. Who cares? Like, it has zero need for that to be there. Like, they make a big deal out of the fact that she's getting ready to go to college. So, like, just have it that, like, oh, like, hey, grandmom, I'd like to, like, my friends want to go over to Mexico and, like, have a good night out before we all leave. And she's like, no, you're not doing that.
It could have been that.
She, like, sneaks over the border anyway. And, there's so many other reasons they could have set this up. Instead, we go on this like 15 minute bullshit run that has zero to do with anything, like outside of a plot device to get her into Mexico.
Yeah, and then so she gets like kind of betrayed by her friends who like helped her track down her dad, and she basically gets sold to the cartel, and they're using her as like a prostitute, but also they're like doping her up and shit. When Rambo finds her finally, like, she is just completely fucking zonked out on dope and ODs in the car on the way back, which is another thing where it was like, you put this girl through hell, she's beat to shit, she got track marks up and down her arms, she's been raped, and what did killing her on top of that do? Like, why, again, with the cruelty and the overtop, like, grim shit.
Right, oh, god damn it.
Stallone, man. What is up with
you? Like, there's zero reason to kill her. Like, you can rescue her. Rambo is the hero again.
They would still come after him. Sure, you know,
they're going to come after you because you've stolen their property now. They're going to come and they're going to come and get revenge on you. You could have rescued her, you know, told her and her grandma, you got to go to you got to go away and go get better or whatever. I'm going to stay here because they're coming for me. And I'm going to have Rambo time with my tunnels. But no, they kill her, and it's like, brings everything down a bit.
It's like everything always has to be the worst. Like, Stallone, you know, whatever his strengths as a writer, it's no longer subtlety. Like, it's just like, we're going to hit you over the head with the most extreme thing. And I'll say this, though. One part I did like is when he was driving away with her, and, like, it's kind of an emotional, like, honestly, probably the most emotional moment since the first film, where he's talking about how like he's so lucky that she came into his life and he never thought he would have any sort of family, and now she's family to him.
Right.
I did like I said, there's like a thing or two I liked, and that was one scene I liked, but again, you had to ruin it by having her OD right after that. Right.
And you could see it because like you see her eyes like oh, he's talking to her, keep her awake. Oh, look, she's like, she's going to sleep. When you go to sleep, you don't wake up from this. Like, oh, why? Oh, okay, they're just going to kill her. Cool.
He should have brought some Narcan or whatever the fuck that shit.
Right.
Or got her to a fucking hospital. I don't know.
Can we cycle back just a bit? So, like, he finds her, but this is, like, an hour into the movie at this point. Like, he finally gets her. Because a half hour of it, outside of, like, you know, her going down to Mexico and, like, you learning about how Rambo's a nutcase now. Like, not that he ever wasn't, but, you know, that he's a nutcase that takes some pills, but also has created tunnels. That all set up. And then she goes to Mexico, gets caught. And then he goes to Mexico to find her.
Yeah.
On this, like, half-hour journey where he gets his ass kicked and then sleeps for the next 10 minutes.
What was he hoping to accomplish? He like walks into like a group of like 50 dudes on top of a building and they beat the living fuck out of him. Like,
right.
What was he going to do? There's one part in all that I do like, though. It's another thing I liked was when he like corners one of the guys for some information and he like pushes the dude into his fucking,
pickup truck. Yes.
He pops the dude's collarbone out and like you can see the bone. Like, it's gory. It's like horror movie shit. He's pulling this dude's fucking bone out of his chest. And he's like, I'm going to fucking break it off if you don't give me the info. And he stabs the dude in the leg with his fucking Rambo knife. Like, that part, I was like, oh shit, this is going to be like a more personal, like grim, like.
Right. You know, it's like, all right, he has a vested interest. And like, he's going to get in there. He's going to wreck some shit, like getting her.
But that's kind of it.
He's going to bring her home, but like that was it. Like that, he finds out the information, then he goes and gets his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And then he sleeps for 10 minutes in like a reporter's house.
That whole subplot.
She saves him for no reason. Yeah. And then like outside of when, you know, he finally gets better and he goes, he doesn't go home. I don't know what the fuck happens or whatever. But he then goes and she helps him find where she is. It's like, did he really need, like, do we need this? This minor character has nothing to do with anything. This
reporter who, like, she lost her sister or some shit, right?
Right. Like oh, we're going to tie her. But she's really only in it for the two scenes. I don't know. I'm so confused.
All right. Sorry, you cut out for me for a second. Oh, I didn't hear what you were saying.
I don't understand why that whole thing, like, there's so much about this movie that just is like, oh, we had an idea, but then we didn't finish the idea. So we're just going to, like, throw pieces of shit together.
It does feel pretty lazy writing all around. That's kind of it. It's like he goes to Mexico, he gets her out of there, she dies on the way back, and then he gets back to his fucking house. And he knows these dudes are coming, and then that's the last bit. Like, it's a short ass movie, and like they're coming. And again, like the last 15 minutes would be pretty cool if I could see what the fuck is going on, but I can't. So, and again, it's just like I wanted that part of the movie to be longer. Like, why couldn't have that been the second half of the film? Like him just taking on everyone at his house. You could have made it longer, 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Like
you could have sent more than like three vans of people.
It's just balls to the wall action for 10 minutes, and it's over. It's like okay, and that's it. Like it just ends. Although there is when he takes out the last guy, it's just so ridiculous and over the top. He like fucking pins him to a barn door with fucking arrows, and he cuts the dude's heart out, which I that's the thing, is like my initial reaction when I walked out of the theaters, I gave it 3 stars. I'm like, this is pretty much trash, but you know, it kept my attention. Like I wasn't like you where I was bored. Like it kept my attention through it, and it did have an exciting ending, so I gave it a 3. But it's just like all these things that we're talking about now. Again, I think if the ending were stretched out and it was like the last 45 or at least 30 minutes and I could see what was going on, I think I'd like this movie a little bit. I'd probably give it I'd probably stick with that initial.
Yeah. Like I think I would have had more, like if it was more of the, like fighting the bad guys at the end. And if they had cut out some of like the nonsense fluff that just didn't need to be there. It was just ridiculous. Like, there's a way to get her there. There's a way to make it so that it's personal and there's an investment for Rambo. And there's a way that it's not cruel and unwieldy. And, like, we don't need to see that, you know, not because, like, so they cut him and then they go and, like, they show them cutting her and, like, because she now has the mark. And then they show, like, her deteriorating over the next, like, little bit as she's, like, raped and drugged, and it's like, what the fuck?
You could have cut some of that. I mean, I get what Stallone's going for, is he wants you to like really hate these people, but it's like, you could have cut some of that down. You could have cut out some of the shit and just made the... What we're here for is to see action, right? So why is it like all in the fucking, you know, Doors montage at the end?
Right. Like,
what the fuck?
And then I mean, we should probably just wrap up on this, but like, this whole movie, like especially the finale and like the prep montage, plays like a fucking propaganda piece for like crazy conservatives. It's like, oh, we have to defend our home because the bad Mexicans are coming to get us. Like this is why we have guns, because they're coming to get us, and I need to build tunnels in my house because they're going to come get me, and I need to protect my family.
Yeah, you know, I saw some other, like, pieces, like, that kind of said what you're saying, where it was like, it's like conservative propaganda, and yeah, you have to protect your home from the invaders and this and that, but it's like, I don't object to the movie on moral grounds. Like, I can see how you could see that stuff in it, but I just, like, to me, again, if you fix the things I said, I think I walk away with this movie.
Yeah, like I mean, it still plays that way, but I think it like, you know, I could forgive it a little more, but there's like zero subtlety this time around.
I do think, you know, there's an argument to be made against, like, again, I get, like, it's an easy critique to make that this movie is, like, conservative propaganda and racist, but, like, at the same time, like, the people he really loves in it, they're Hispanic, you know, he speaks Spanish, he doesn't say anything blatantly, like, you know, the movie doesn't say anything blatantly, like, I don't think the movie has anything to say, really. I just think it's not well done.
Well, outside of the finale, where, like, at the very end, he's, like, sitting in the rocking chair. Mm. And basically, it's like, gotta fight for our families, like fight for the ones we love, love and protect them.
Yeah, like, I just
you're that pretty shitty at it.
I didn't even like remember what he said because it was all just like nonsense. It was just like, yeah, it was just like that. It was like a generic, like, hey, you gotta fight, stand up, okay, whatever. Like
you're there's a no thousand there's years no message old, here. Dude, shut up. Yeah.
This has been a troubled series, and it's been a strange rewatch.
Here we go. Here we go. I found it.
Okay.
I lived in a world of death. I tried to come home, but I never really arrived. Part of my mind and soul got lost along the way.
My heart was
still here where I was born, where I would defend to the end of the only family I've ever known. The only home I've ever known. All the ones I've loved are now ghosts, but I will fight to keep their memory alive forever.
Pretty bad writing.
What the fuck is that?
I came home, but I never arrived. What?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, for all the ups and downs, it would have been nice to see this series end on a better note than it did. I don't think that this movie's very good at all. So I'm changing my score to a 2.
To a 2. I don't know. There's nothing positive really that that I can go with here. I'm going to give it a 1. It's so bad.
I can't remember you giving anything else a 1 this year.
There was that Hulu movie. I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one. And I think I gave Replicas a 1 as well, which was the Keanu Reeves movie where he makes clones of his family. That was pretty shitty too. Yeah, nobody does. Yeah. I had forgotten about it until like I looked at my overall rankings for the year.
Well, this is your only one that was like a big theatrical release. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Unless Replicas. Was Replicas even in the theater? Or no?
Replicas was in the theater. And I don't know. I don't know which one's going to last longer, but I feel this one probably lasts a little bit longer. But.
Yeah, I could probably have fun with this for a little while longer, but we kind of covered. There's really, again, we covered the whole plot there. It's kind of, oh yeah, David Morrell said that he was embarrassed. Like, the writer of First Blood said he was embarrassed to have his name associated with this movie. And he actually loved 2008. So, there you go. From the author of the original novel himself, he fucking hated this. Well, I guess we'll do, I want to hear your thoughts on Ad Astra, which I didn't get to see, and then we'll talk about our fall movies.
Sure. I won't spend a long time on this one because you haven't seen it yet. But Ad Astra, new science fiction movie starring Brad Pitt. if you've seen the trailer, premises that Pitt's an astronaut. He has taken kind of like after his father, who was on an expedition out into the outer reaches of our solar system and went missing. And it's been a secret, but I guess his dad's been alive all this time, and he has to go find him because his dad was part of this project that is endangering all of the rest of humanity in the solar system. And if you watch the trailers, like, it seems like it's going to be pretty, you know, it's going to be pretty action packed. Like, they show like a cool, like, buggy like shootout, like
flipping over,
yeah. And there's like I don't know, it seemed maybe a little more action packed going in. It is not that at all. It is a very slow burn, character driven drama. It's a character study about Brad Pitt's character, Roy McBride and his coming to terms with, you know, us being alone in the universe or whatnot. And it's, to me, like, I came out of it going, like, the Brad Pitt is a pretty great performance. And I enjoyed all, like, the visual scenery of it. It is slow. It's a slow movie. And I can see people coming out of this going, ooh, that's terrible. Like, it is boring as shit. In fact, there were people coming out of my theater that said that.
Yeah.
I liked it. It's going to be a film that where mileage is going to vary on it. It seems very Oscar baity too for Pitt. Like he's kind of like lobbying for a best actor nomination, which is funny. Cause I think he will get one this
He'll
year.
He'll get it for Once Upon a Time.
Yeah. Visually, the movie's stunning. Like, there's some great shots of like the solar system. Like, they're going past Jupiter at one point, and like, just like you see the scale of everything. It's super impressive. And when he finally gets out into the outer solar system, and he's like around Neptune or whatever, like visually, it's a stunning. Scientifically, it is stupid as shit. Like the stuff they're doing makes zero sense. This is not a hard sci-fi movie. Like they're trying, it's kind of like Gravity, right? Like where it appears like they're doing things correctly, but like, it's really dumb just because like, hey, this looks cool. So, we're going to have him like do this at one point. It's to me, like as I said, I liked it. Mileage is going to vary. I'm going to give it 3 stars. But don't go in expecting like an action-packed sci-fi movie. Don't even go in expecting something like Blade Runner 2049. Like it is a different type of movie than that. It's more of a personal journey. There's a lot of voiceover of Brad Pitt kind of like talking inside his own head.
Everything that I've heard makes me want to see it. Like the way you describe it, that sounds interesting to me. So I will see it at some point. It just probably won't be in the theater. Have you seen a movie called High Life that came out this year?
No,
I haven't seen it either yet. But it's another like weird drama and space movie. It stars Robert Pattinson. I heard might make a good double feature with Ad Astra.
I do love space movies, so maybe I'll
that's my thing. It's like, if I don't care, give me a drama in space. That sounds cool, you know? So
yeah, I think that's why it works, right? Like, cause it's like, I enjoy space like primarily anyway. I love like the mystery of space, like, and seeing the vastness of it. They do a great job of that here. And then like the personal journey was enough for me that I was like, yeah, all right, I'm on board. So.
All right. Well, I'll probably see that hopefully before the end of the year. Let's talk about our fall movies, Chris.
All right.
So I put together my top 5 as per usual. Mm-hmm. This is all stuff that should be out by the end of the year, and it's the stuff I was most looking forward to. I had to, like, unfortunately, like, it was hard to cut this list because there's actually a lot I'm looking forward to for the rest of the year. A lot of it's like sequels and stuff, but I'm excited. I'm hoping you'll cover some of the ones I cut. So I'm going to start with my first one, my number 5. It's called A Hidden Life. That's the new film from Terrence Malick.
Okay.
You'll see when we talk about our top 10 films of the decade, I'm a huge fan of The Tree of Life. And this looks like that, but, well, this looks like more of an actual plot, like a drama taking place in World War II, which, like, if you've seen the trailer, you could definitely draw parallels to stuff that's happening today. I'm just super interested to see it, although I've heard mixed things from people who have, but the trailer alone that sold me on it, so that's my number 5, Chris.
Nice. So just want to clarify here. I kind of picked the films of the fall, so my cutoff does not go into holiday.
I just
through the end of the year. Yeah,
I just included because it's only a couple months.
Yeah, so I didn't include anything from like, you know, Thanksgiving on, which, you know, like Star Wars obviously would be a big one on my list. It is not on here.
Okay, okay.
Which is just a clarity of like, whoa, shit, Chris loves Star Wars. Why is that on? Like, that is my most anticipated movie of the rest of the year.
I thought for sure that would be on your list. I guess I should have been like, you could choose whatever you want from the rest of the year. So, although the one I just chose was from the, I think it's from December. That's like the only one that falls outside of that. Everything else is pretty soon, actually. So,
so my first one is, I believe it comes out next week. It's called In the Tall Grass, which is a Stephen King, Joe Hill adaptation that's going to hit Netflix.
Yeah,
it's based on a story the two of them did. I love Stephen King, and Netflix has done a pretty good job of adapting his stuff recently. Last year, I think, was a bit of a letdown maybe with the King stuff, but this year is like, you know, it was okay. I'm hoping In the Tall Grass and another film kind of pop back up.
Creepshow, just throwing out there.
Creepshow, that's today.
Yeah, I watched the first episode. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
My number four, Chris, is Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. I love Kevin Smith. I know he, like, for a lot of people, his career is taking a nosedive, but I like the guy. He's got a lot of goodwill from me. I love his old movies still, and this is him going back to that well. I'm sorry. I thought the trailer looked funny, man. Like, it looked like a good, like, in-spirit sequel to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. So I'm, like, really high. Like, that was, like, way higher on my list until I remembered a few others that were coming out. So, yeah, that's my number four, Chris.
Nice. My number four is a movie called Parasite. Which is it's by Jun Hu Bong, who did The Host and Snowpiercer. It is supposedly getting a limited release in the next couple weeks. And I like both those movies. I think that some of the horror and films coming, thrillers coming out of South Korea have been great.
Yeah.
So, and this has a ton of hype around it. So I'm really kind of looking forward to it.
Tons of hype. And I will throw out there that one of our friends, Mr. Too Fresh, has seen it. I don't know how he saw it. But he said that he loved it, and it's like the only movie he's given 5 stars this year.
Nice.
He was like urging, you know, all of us in this group chat to fucking see it as soon as possible. I'm like, is it out? He's like, no. Like, well, I've been aware of it for a while, and I want to see it. So hopefully we get to see that before the end of the year.
Yep.
My number three, Chris, is The Irishman from Martin Scorsese, coming to Netflix in November. I realized, I was like watching something about like the top 10 Scorsese films that I don't think I've liked a ton of his movies since Goodfellas. Like, I really like The Wolf of Wall Street, but there's a lot, he's like a lot of hit or miss for me. Like, his last one, Silence, I thought was really boring. But The Irishman looks like him once again going back to the well here, where it's, he's going back to that gangster shit. And you have fucking De Niro, you have Joe Pesci, you have Al Pacino, and it looks like it follows them through decades, and there's like digital de-aging and shit going on, and I guess it's like over 3 hours, and I get to watch it from the comfort of my home. So a new trailer for that like dropped yesterday, and I don't know if you got to see it yet, but like,
no, I have not.
It put it on my list, and you know, at the number three spot.
Nice. I'm
pretty psyched for that.
Netflix is a They're bringing some big guns this
After I haven't watched them for like 6 months, probably. Yeah. I'm like, I guess I'm keeping my subscription.
Yeah.
What's your number three?
My number three is Zombieland Double Tap.
Whoa.
I really like the first one. I am hoping, like, this is more of a hope, right? Like,
I did not see this coming.
But I enjoy the cast here. Like, I love Emma Stone. Abigail Breslin, Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg. Like, I enjoy you know, them as actors, and the first one together, like, I thought they had great chemistry. I need something that is fun and light. Like, it's been a rough fucking year. And I'm just hoping that this kind of pulls through on that side.
Well, it's so funny though. Like, I liked Zombieland, but I didn't think anyone was looking forward to a sequel to it. It just seems like it's been so long.
And I don't think we needed a sequel, but yeah. I am down for seeing Woody Harrelson act like a fucking goofy ass cowboy again. So
I'm down for Harrelson in pretty much anything. So
yeah.
All right, my number two was initially my number one, but it got overtaken as well, and that is Joker from Todd Phillips. I know there's a lot of lot of thoughts about this out there, and a lot of like kind of weird controversy for a movie that's not even out yet, and people think that there's going to be fucking mass shootings and this and that. I know you're like kind of skeptical of it. But I'm going to be there opening night. I'm not afraid. I'm excited to see the movie. I think that when I first heard about them doing a Joker movie, like solo movie, I was really against it. I didn't want an origin story for Joker. I thought, one, you can't top Heath Ledger's performance. And two, I think that The Dark Knight is the perfect Joker story because it doesn't tell you anything.
Right.
But then I saw the trailer for this, and I'm like, oh, shit, Todd Phillips is trying to do fucking early Scorsese, and, you know, it's kind of like a mix of Taxi Driver and The King of Comedy. And I'm like, I don't even care about it as, like, a Joker movie at this point. I just want to see what it is. Like, it looks like a...
It looks like an interesting drama. An interesting, like, mental break drama. I've come around a little bit on that. I don't know. I will still be there to see it. Like just like you, I will go watch it. I don't have the heart for it.
Are you scared there's going to be like a shooting or something?
There is.
I just, I don't know. I my attitude is kind of like that, but I'm just kind of like, dude, you can't let this fucking psycho.
Right. Run. Like I can't let them like,
dictate how I live my life.
Not gonna go do something I like to do because somebody is crazy. Like, there's somebody crazy anyway. It doesn't matter what movie I go to.
Exactly.
Like, all right, yes, there was a lunatic in Colorado. Was it Colorado? Like, that went and shot up fucking Batman screening. Like, but all right, maybe there's a slightly larger chance of somebody doing that here. I don't know. I hope not, but whatever.
Obviously, I don't want to see anyone get killed at a fucking Joker movie, but I refuse to be like angry at a movie. One, I haven't seen yet, and two, it looks good to me. So I don't know. Like, it's just, I know a lot of people like have opinions about it, but I guess I will form mine next week.
Yep.
What's your number two, Chris?
My number two is another Stephen King adaptation, Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
Sequel to The Shining. I'm super excited for this one. I have not read the book, which is weird because I normally read everything, so I may do that beforehand. But just like the ties, originally I thought like, oh, this is a little like blunt, like they're definitely trying to pull in that like, oh, this is a sequel to The Shining thing, and I guess you have to, like, because it's been...
How you got me interested. I haven't read the book.
But yeah, like, the more I see of the trailer, I'm like, yeah, like, I'm fucking on board for this. Like, bring it on.
Yeah, the main thing that's drawing me towards it is the strong, like, it very strongly points out that it's a sequel to The Shining, and so I like that. Like, you see, like, too, he's gonna go back to the Overlook and shit like that. Like, I'm like, alright. This was actually initially on my list, but it got bumped out by some of these other things.
So. Yeah, I mean, and Ewan McGregor's great. Like, just about everything.
He's a great actor. So. I think that the villain looks ridiculous with her stupid little top hat, but hopefully it's good. Mike Flanagan has done pretty good by Stephen King, so. All right. My number one, Chris, is coming soon to a TV near you. It's El Camino. A Breaking Bad movie. I don't know, all the promotional shit, like they just released a full trailer for this that I thought was a really good trailer. It doesn't really give you away too much. And I'm just super invested in the Breaking Bad world still. I like Better Call Saul. I really like Jesse as a character. And while I thought the ending of the show was pretty much perfect and we didn't need to know more about Jesse, I'm still like, cool, I get a Jesse movie now. I'm pretty hyped for it. So that's my number one, man.
Yeah. When is that? That's soon, right?
Like, October 11th, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number one, I think was your, were Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Nice.
I still love Kevin Smith. Like, all right, the guy's been a little goofy recently. He's made some bad movies in the past little bit. But this is him returning home. And I'm there for it. Like,
nice.
I think it'll be a fun time. And the fact that, you know, he was able to get, you know, Affleck and Matt Damon, get all those guys back. Like, yeah, bring it
fucking
on.
Jason Lee. Yeah. Yep. I thought I was going to be alone on the Jay and Silent Bob one. Like, it feels like you and I are the only ones, people I know that are like,
well, it's weird. Cause like, I was like looking over like the you know, release calendar, and it's like, I think it's only like getting like a one night release or something.
It's a Fathom event, just like Three from Hell. So like, I'm a little worried that I might not get to see it, and then I'm gonna have to wait. Like with Three from Hell, like we're basically having a month to see it. But with that, it's like I could wait for Three from Hell. Like, yeah, whatever, I'll see it when it comes out. But
I mean, I added Three from Hell to my like horror list, my 31 films for October, because it'll be out to watch sometime in the middle of October. But yeah, Jay and Silent Bob, like I'm gonna have to find a way to like get to that Fathom event, unless like
I know
he's
gonna
like release it VOD like the day after or something.
I know, because we're looking at a scenario. I think it's October 15th is the release, quote unquote, of it. And it's like, so if they do the same thing they did with Rob Zombie, it would be one or two nights in theaters, and then you wait to what, fucking Thanksgiving to see it? Which yeah. I'm hyped for this movie, man.
Yeah, and also, it. Like, I don't know. All right, you don't have to go see a Kevin Smith movie in the theater. Like, actually, I think sometimes they play a little better on TV. But yeah, it's like the being around a bunch of people, especially for something like this, since it's going to be so limited, being around the people that are going to go see that, like they're going to be into it too. Like I kind of want to experience that. Like it's like, yeah, a bunch of people that still like Kevin Smith, like Jay and Silent Bob, and like these characters, like the Viewisk universe. I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's just like I don't know, like I'm going to go again this year to this historic theater in my downtown that they're going to play Halloween. And it's like to be around other people that appreciate this as much as me, you know, did you ever check out that drive-in movie I told you about?
No,
didn't. It's called, it's called At the Drive-In. It's about a drive-in that's sort of near you. On Amazon Prime, but it was like watching that. It's like, I was just like, these are my people, man. Like you can just see, there's like people that love movies and they like love just kind of hanging out there and watching shitty horror movies and shit. Yeah, it's kind of like the same way I feel about Kevin Smith. I would like to see, you know, his new movie, like that's a return to like his old shit in the theater with people that love that shit too. You know, it'd be like a special little thing, which I guess is what they're trying to do with the Fathom event, I guess. But fuck, man, you're killing me here.
Yeah,
I want to see this.
Yeah, because I can't use my A-list on event movies.
Yeah, that's that as well. But also, like, I get Three from Hell here. I would have had to drive, like, 30 miles. And
yeah,
I said, fuck that. So, I don't know. Hopefully we both get to see that one. But that's our top five for mostly the rest of the year.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of shit. You know, like, it hurt me to cut Dr. Sleep and Terminator Dark Fate and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, there's more movies coming.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a good final 3 months, 4 months of the year.
So. I hope. Unless they're all like duds, like all the shit that's come before this year. It's like you thought something was going to be great and it's just okay.
Yeah.
I hope not. But anyways, we will be back next week, and we're starting our month of October here, Chris. We'll be back with Nightmare on Elm Street 1 and 2.
Yep.
And Creepshow. We'll talk a little Creepshow.
Yeah, so did, before we leave, did Creepshow release like all at once, or is it one?
No.
So it's like one a week?
Cool. Every Thursday, they drop an episode, I think for 6 weeks, and each episode is two stories.
Nice.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that too next week, so tune in. We're starting the horror time.
Movie dudes.